As a single man living on my own, one of the traditions that I would do on Christmas Eve is I would come here for our Christmas Eve service, and when I would go home, I would either read or listen to a reading of Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. I just loved it. I loved seeing Ebenezer Scrooge be transformed from bah humbug to the man who, quote, knew how to keep Christmas well. How do you keep Christmas? Do you keep it well? See, he was confronted by three spirits, the spirit of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future, and he sees the world around him, he sees the people around him, especially the people in need, and he's transformed by the grace of a second chance. He's transformed by the grace of a second chance. He repeatedly asks, must these things be this way? And the spirits put it back into his lap. Will he be transformed? Will he mend his ways? And in our passage this morning, and while we only read one small portion of it, Balaam, this pagan prophet, received seven oracles. Adrienne read the first of the seven. But they're not from the spirits of Christmas. They're from the spirit of the living God. God speaks through a pagan prophet, but Balaam remains unchanged. Balak, the king who wants to curse Israel, he's only angered by God's word and God's commitment to bless his people. So here's the question. Have you been transformed by the word of God? Or have you just heard it? Have you been transformed by the message of the Spirit of God to you, offering you a second chance? Have you allowed it to transform you? Have you engaged it? Because when God promises to bless his people, nothing and no one can change or undo or stop it. And God's heart is for you this morning. God's heart is for you this morning, and he wants you to engage in him, to receive the assurance of his love and his faithfulness. His heart is for each one of us to experience his relentless and faithful love. His love and blessing are irrevocable. But at the moment I say that, we also have to recognize that we need to expect persistent opposition. See, the moment we say, oh, God wants to bless us, our first thought could be, oh, that means everything is going to go great. That means everything's going to be easy and smooth. And if you've lived the month of December 2018, you know it's not true. Anything difficult happen to anybody? I hope you're praying for John Vartanian. You heard about it last week. You've probably seen it in the news. We need to be praying for John. John was in a terrible accident. Wait a minute. Am I saying that God desires to bless John and he was still in an accident? How can that be? Or maybe it's your story that I don't even know about. God's for me even though this happened? Even though this happened? And even though I don't even want to talk about that. See, we need to expect opposition to our desires. Sometimes it's personal because there are people who, for whom we're not their favorite. And for whatever reason, they're actually looking forward to tripping you. They're actually looking forward to getting in your way. Now, other opposition, so to speak, is entirely impersonal. We live in a fallen world, and things don't always go the way we want them to. And we do ourselves a disservice when, instead of listening to God's word and looking at it as he, looking at our lives as he sees it, we have this fairy tale idea that if God loves me, everything is going to be great. Now, if we were a different church, different kind of culture, there might be amens screaming. See, we've got to expect opposition because we live in a fallen world. The whole point of Christmas screams at us, the world is not the way I designed it. I need to send my son to save and rescue. See, we need to expect persistent opposition. Balaam comes because the king of Moab wants him to curse Israel. He's taken months to get Balaam there, and he's going to ask four times for Balaam to curse the people of God. But nothing, absolutely nothing, can stop God from blessing his people. Absolutely nothing. Would you read that with me? Absolutely nothing can stop God from blessing his people. Even in a fallen world, even though we can expect persistent opposition, absolutely nothing can stop God from blessing his people. What's crazy is that this pagan king invites this pagan prophet to come and go through all this divination, and we read in verse 4 that God met with him. The Lord spoke to him. What kind of God do we have that he can compensate for our humanity and our lostness and still speak to us? What kind of God do we have that can figure out a way to save his rebellious people, and his plan is to send his own son, God Almighty, to enter our world as a baby? I mean, this is beyond mythology. There are no myths that are this crazy that the Almighty would become the lowest and weakest and most vulnerable of his creation to rescue us. What kind of God do we have? Well, he's one that can't be stopped. And while we may face opposition, maybe even long-term opposition, nothing can stop him from fulfilling his promises. Absolutely nothing. Did you catch it as Audrina read? Balaam said, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom God has not denounced? Nope. You and I can trust that absolutely nothing is going to get in God's way. Right now, what are you facing? Is it an illness? Is it a difficult relationship? Is it a problem with a family member, or maybe a family member is experiencing medical issues or financial issues, or they're facing something? Do you believe that absolutely nothing can get in God's way of blessing them? And it's not just for them. Sometimes we're really great believing that God can do great things for other people. But it's for you too. Even though you may think you don't deserve it, even though you may say you don't even know, absolutely nothing can stop God from blessing his people, because God does not change his mind. I love verse 19 of chapter 23. Balak says, okay, Balaam, you blessed them here. We're going to go to another spot, maybe from this angle. You're not going to be able to see all of the people of God, but just from this angle, you can curse them from here. And because God can't be manipulated, the word that he gives to the prophet, this pagan prophet, is God is not human that he should lie. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The reason absolutely nothing can stop God from blessing his people is that God does not change his mind. Now, there's some of you are saying, I think I got Bodvilly. I think I caught him. Because you've read the book of Jonah. Or you've read other parts of the scripture, and it's like, wait a minute. God says I'm going to judge my people, but then he doesn't. Isn't that a contradiction? Yes, the words are contradictory. The words are contradictory because God is just that kind of God that when he pronounces judgment and the people repent, he pulls back his judgment. Even though they deserve it, when he pronounces judgment, if they turn back to him, he extends forgiveness. What kind of God do we worship? What kind of God says, you deserve punishment, but if you'll turn back, not only will I relent from judgment, but I will bless you. That's the God we worship. That's the God we worship. He chooses to extend mercy when we deserve judgment. Because as we've spoken about for the last several months, God is biased toward blessing. Remember, if the people sinned, the generations three or four down the line would experience the consequences of that sin. But if they would obey, it would be 10,000 generations who would be blessed. See, God prefers blessing to judgment. And so while you and I aren't worthy, he likes to extend blessing. And it's crazy because if we read throughout this entire passage, Numbers 23 and 24, you would think that Jacob is perfect, that Israel is perfect. We read that there's no misfortune seen in Jacob. No misery is observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shadow of the king is among them. And I mean, if you've read even just a little bit, it's like, well, actually, there's a lot of misfortune among them because they keep sinning, because they won't trust God. They keep grumbling and grumbling and complaining. God says to Moses, what, get out of the way, and what, I'll destroy them, I'll give you a new people. No, please forgive them. Okay, I'll forgive them. See, repeatedly they sin, repeatedly God threatens judgment, and repeatedly he offers blessing because they ask. Do you believe his bias toward you is blessing? Do you expect to see him involved in your life? See, because his love and his blessing is irrevocable, it can't be called back. See, God has chosen, has committed himself to bless his people, and so even in the face of our rebellion, he offers us the chance to turn back and receive his blessing. See, because it's his presence that's our blessing. His faithfulness, his loyal love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his presence, that's our blessing. That's what sets apart the people of God. That's our confidence. It's not what you've accomplished. It's not how much praying or Bible reading or church attendance or giving. Our confidence before God is his promise to bless us. Is that your confidence? Or when you've skipped church for a few weeks, you think, oh, I got that ticket because I didn't go to church. Or I burned dinner, yeah, because I haven't been praying enough. Or my boss seems to be in my face, yeah, I haven't read my Bible this week. Or my teacher is just, she added an assignment at the last minute. Yep, God's out to get me. I'm smiling because we've all done that. And I want to urge you today, in fact, would you just read that bottom line? God's love and blessing are irrevocable. God's love and blessing are irrevocable. Christmas comes in the face of humanity's sin and rebellion. We celebrate Christmas year after year in the face of our own sin and rebellion, and we have to come back again, just like the Magi, bow before Jesus, offer what we have, and say, here we go again. Here we go again. I'm absolutely unworthy, but your character, your presence, that's my blessing. I asked Connie to read Romans 8 because absolutely nothing can stop God's love. But did you catch, there are two words that aren't up on the slide. Did you catch that when she read it? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Want to finish it for me? That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wording has been intentional. His people, his people, his people, his people, his blessing, his love is for his people in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing and no one can stop his love in Christ. And so I have to ask you this morning, have you received the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? The baby that grew, that lived our life, experiencing every temptation that we have ever faced, who takes our place on the cross, experiencing the judgment we deserve, who conquers death, rises from the dead, extends his arms to us, nail-pierced hands, and says, I love you. Have you received that love? Don't be like the Magi. Don't try to offer Jesus anything until you've received the gift that he is giving. Have you received the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? See, Scrooge engaged the spirits of Christmas and was transformed. A spirit much greater than the spirit of Christmas beckons each one of us now, receive the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his blessing. Because God's love and blessing are irrevocable in Christ. So let's say what Tiny Tim says at the end of the Christmas carol together. Merry Christmas, and God bless us, everyone. Please stand. I'd like to invite the children and the youth forward. We will close our service together.